You're listening to Chops Talks, a series of conversations with artists appearing at the 2022 TD Winnipeg International Jazz Festival. I'm Gareth Rice, host of Canadiana Suite, and on this episode, I'm joined by Jocelyn Gould. Jocelyn Gould is a Juno-winning guitarist based in Toronto, and her upcoming album, Golden Hour, continues to highlight her warm, distinctive sound on guitar and voice, as well as her engaging takes on originals and standards alike. She'll be doing an album release performance as part of the TD Winnipeg International Jazz Festival on June 19th, 7:30, at the Royal Albert Arms. Joining us is Jocelyn Gould, a guitarist primarily based in Toronto. She's played alongside musicians such as Randy Napoleon, Freddie Cole, Etienne Charles, and Will Bonas, and has established herself as one of the prominent leaders of modern jazz guitar with her warm, distinctive sound. Her 2020 release, Elegant Traveler, won a Juno for Best Jazz Album of the Year, and her upcoming album, Golden Hour, is set to release on June 17th. How are you doing, Jocelyn?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Pretty good. I guess the first question is, your newest album, Golden Hour, it's coming out on June 17th, and you're also doing an album release performance 2 days later at Jazz Fest and also a tour. So what can you tell me about Golden Hour? What inspired its creation and like the tune list and everything?
Yeah, definitely. Well, when I set out to write the music and kind of put together the music for my second album, this is album number two, I really wanted to take inspiration from classic quartet records that I really love, especially quartet records with guitar. I mean, primarily with guitar. So sort of two quartets that I really, really love are, and this particularly piano guitar kind of combinations are Wynton Kelly and Wes Montgomery and Grant Green and Sonny Clark. And there's just incredible records with those two combinations. So I wanted to make a quartet record with guitar, piano, bass, and drums, and use kind of my love for that configuration and for the records that I love with that configuration as the inspiration. So I wrote some music. It's six originals, four standards, and tried to sort of pay tribute to the guitar players that I love. So I did Willow Weep for Me, for example, kind of in very much sort of similar to how Wes Montgomery recorded that tune. And yeah, just kind of took it from there. And as you write music, things always develop kind of beyond what you think they're going to develop. So once something starts, if you get an idea, you just kind of have to go for it. So I ended up adding voice on three tunes. So I'm singing one standard and two originals, one with lyrics, one as a vocalise, and everything just sort of went from there. So it's kind of a combination of like modern music that I've written and music I've written with the inspiration we were just sort of talking about. And yeah, it ended up being 10 tracks. We recorded it in Winnipeg in November 2021. And the album features myself on guitar and voice, Will Bonas on piano, Quincy Davis on drums, and Rodney Whitaker on bass, and John Gordon on alto saxophone on three tracks.
Nice. Yeah, I guess you could say the album was active serendipity.
Yeah, I think it was. Think it was. Yeah, everything kind of came together, especially coming out of COVID. I had hoped to record it a lot sooner. I had originally planned January 2021 recording session, and then of course that just was fully impossible, so had to wait till November, and everything just kind of came together really, really nicely in the last minute, because the way, you know, we've been planning things lately, it's been so last minute.
Yeah, like I've gotten a chance to listen to it and it sounds really great. I think the thing that really stuck out to me was like your jazz influences were really clear, like in terms of like how you arrange stuff, and like just like your original compositions were like really interesting. I was wondering, like for Sweet Lorraine, were you kind of taking inspiration from like Jim Hall or like Joe Pass for like your solo arrangement?
Yes. Yeah. I've studied a lot of Joe Pass's solo guitar playing, more than anybody else, like by far. So for me, that's sort of how I've cultivated my solo guitar sound, is from transcribing and listening, mostly transcribing Joe Pass. So that's definitely like, I don't even know what I would play if I wasn't kind of using what I've taken from that study. So yeah, definitely Joe Pass on that one.
Nice. Yeah, I guess from listening to your playing, I think it's fair to say that you're a big fan of Grant Green, Wes Montgomery, and like I said, like Jim Hall and Joe Pass. So, like from a guitar perspective, what did you incorporate from like each of those players to like form the Jocelyn Gould sound?
Yeah, that's such a great question. Well, I guess I'm kind of striving to take elements that I love from all of those players, and I think I do that with varying degrees of success from night to night. So I can just kind of say a few things I love about each of them. Grant Green, there's something so distinct about his sounds that you can hear one note and know that it's Grant. And I don't know how he does that, or how I don't know why it's so clear and so obvious, something about the timbre or the cut of his sound. I'm not totally sure, but I love how distinctive his sound is. And I love how he digs into the quarter note the way that he does. So those are kind of two elements that, if I could kind of take some elements of Grant, I think that's what I would take. I love how he really kind of really plays the quarter note a lot, and just such great language and so much, I mean, so much blues and gospel in his playing. So that's what I love about Grant, and I've transcribed a fair bit of him, so I think those are sort of the elements that I try to latch on to. With Wes, I mean, it's just so much swing and so much blues and so soulful. And if I could, I mean, he's such a virtuosic guitar player. If I could, yeah, swing, basically swing like Wes, that would be, that would be my goal when it comes to Wes. Play blues like Wes, swing like Wes. And Joe Pass, for me, it's like you mentioned, it's interesting that you already brought it up. I'm really into Joe Pass's solo guitar playing, how he accompanies, particularly in duo settings. So how he accompanies vocalists especially, I really, really love. So I've studied a lot of his solo guitar playing, and love to do intros. Like, I love to do the verse of tunes, for example, solo guitar. And that's with Joe Pass, a lot of what I've studied.
Yeah, Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass. That's a
Yeah,
great record.
the best. Those are the best records.
Yeah, what you're saying kind of reminds me of Emily Remler in the sense that like she has like that kind of like West sound like with Firefly, like the really like distinct West sound. But you kind of tell like your own influence kind of really develops when you go to like East to West, where it's like you can hear that distinctive like Emily Remler thing. And that's really interesting.
Absolutely. I transcribed her on Dahoud on that record. It's incredible. There's so much, I think, to learn. And she was so young. I mean, she was also brilliant. I love her playing.
Yeah, she's super underrated. I think more people should talk
Yeah.
about her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People should talk about her more.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And also I noticed what you're playing is that it's very warm, but like there's a really like distinctive kind of like tone to it. So I was wondering, how did you kind of develop that in terms of like guitars? Because I remember you were here for masterclass and you were talking like Dan Addison about like finger technique. Like is that a big kind of thing, just kind of constantly refining it as you go along?
So sound is something that I didn't think about for a lot of years as a guitar player, and I was always sort of unhappy with my playing and couldn't really figure out why. And I mean, I wanted to be better in all areas, but when I started really focusing on developing the sound that I wanted, and getting that sound out of the instrument itself, like not out of an amplifier, not out of any kind of other, by any other means. I think for me, I want to be able to sit like just with my instrument, nothing else, and have my sound be my sound. So yeah, it's a kind of about drawing the sound out of the instrument. And There's a lot of elements that go to it. A lot of it is left hand. And I was talking with great bassist, Canadian bassist, Brandy Disterheff the other day about how so much of sound, she was like, yeah, so much of it for me is left hand. So I think a lot of it is like how we're pressing down the strings, and evenness across the neck. A lot of the time we'll play like differently in different areas. And so for me, I want the same, like a consistency of sound completely across the neck. And then with right hand, it's really about drawing the sound out. So it's not so much like plucking the strings. It's like preparing the string. Angle of pick matters a lot too. And then just the way you're drawing the sound out, it's like you have to practice it the same way you would have to practice sound on any instrument, a horn, any instrument. I imagine with piano, like we work on like how you're pressing the keys, right?
Oh yeah, posture and all that too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Posture, just everything. I think my recent kind of motto for myself is that if it doesn't sound good, doesn't matter what you're going to play. If it doesn't sound good, it's not going to sound good unless your sound is good. So,
right.
Yeah.
Speaking of instruments as well, I noticed the CEO of Banadero Guitars, he kind of like quoted like something in your bio, of which you actually own one. So can you kind of talk about like what like makes them unique?
Absolutely. Yeah. Banadero is, actually only the second art shop I've ever owned. And I was really, really lucky to, you know, be able to get one. So when I did, they're a small art shop company and, you know, one of the premier art shop companies in the world. And they're like a family. I think that's what's so great about them. So Howard really cultivates this family type community, and they only make about 100 guitars a year. So there aren't too many coming out, and each one just has so much care and so much like love put into each instrument. So mine I got in July 2019, so almost 3 years ago. Jackson Evans reached out to me, and he works at Banadero, and he reached out, and I went down to Savannah and just kind of met everybody and got a tour of the shop, and we hung out for a couple of days, played some gigs together, and I left with the 16B that I have now. And so what I really, really love about it is the evenness. I'm like very particular about the evenness. Like we were just saying, I want like a consistent sound across the entire neck. And there's no dead spots, which is the first guitar I've ever had where there's no dead spots, especially around like 12th fret on the high E and B string, like 12th to 15th fret. There's often, I love that area, that range of the guitar, and I really want it to sing and to resonate, and I want to be able to play a note and for it to be held. I don't want it to die. And so just very specific things that are really important to my playing, Banadero, this guitar is just so perfect.
Nice. Yeah, I find it fascinating when like musicians just talk about their instruments or like guitarists, because it's like pianos are kind of, they're very specific, but they're not also very specific at the same time.
Yeah, right. Well, you can't always choose, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of pianos out there.
Yeah. Yeah. You just get to the gig, you have to play what's given to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't envy that.
Yeah. Speaking of pianos, you've played with Will Bonis and Addison Frey quite a number of times. So this is like the ultimate piano guitar question, but how do you each kind of navigate the complexities of like piano guitar interplay? Like if you're playing a melody or if you're like soloing, do you kind of figure out a way to figure out like drop twos or kind of like voice a certain way to kind of have like a nice texture with like the sound of the piano and like the sound of the guitar without it sounding like you're kind of competing for space?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think about it some in terms of arranging, but also just in terms of playing with piano players who are kind of interested in trying to achieve like a collaborative sound. I think the biggest thing, even on top of arranging, is just that everyone's listening to each other and leaving space and playing in a supportive way that will kind of showcase the other person's playing as well. But I love piano and guitar in unison and in octaves. And I do, that's a great question about drop twos. I'll tend to have either, like, if I'm playing chords, I'll often have the piano playing maybe like a single note line and vice versa. Maybe there's one particular melody that I'm thinking about on my album where we're playing in unison and sometimes the piano splits out into a chord, but I don't, the guitar kind of just stays as a single note line. So I think just also just having the openness to try things and listen back and figure out what worked, what didn't. I do love having piano comping behind me while I improvise, so I just love the fuller kind of sound, and I love feeling, supported by another person's comping while improvising, so that works great too.
Yeah, it adds a really nice texture, because I remember in the beginning of It's Wrote With Me, you kind of had that, it was like I know, like a major seven something, and like you kind of
Yeah,
like
major
that,
seven, sharp 11, I
yeah,
think.
sharp 11, yeah. And then you kind of had like, there was a held chord, and you kind of kept going with that like chord voicing, you went into the melody. It's an interesting,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, so that's a really cool thing too, is to have like one instrument doing a fixed kind of vamp or a fixed rhythm, and then the other instrument can improvise in those spaces. I think that's what was happening there. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, do you have any future gigs or any future projects planned?
Yeah, so I'm here in New York right now. I was just playing with a great trumpet player named Danny Giannacucci the other day at Lincoln Center. I'm headed out to playing a couple more gigs here in New York this week, and then headed out to North Carolina to teach at Brevard Jazz Institute for 1 week. So that's next week. And then we're going on a cross-country, like a Canada-wide jazz festival tour starting in Winnipeg on June 19th.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Yeah. Thanks again for the interview.
Thanks so much, Gareth.
Yeah. Are there any tracks from your newest album you want to play out with?
Ooh, what about Willow Weep for Me?
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Cool.
Thank you. I'm Gareth Rice, and you've been listening to Chops Talks, a series of conversations with artists playing the 2022 TD Winnipeg International Jazz Festival. For tickets and complete lineup information, visit jazzwinnipeg.com.